Chapter 10 is about the future tense forms. The future tense will be one of our easiest ones to learn, now that we've got the present active indicative and middle passive down. It's actually related, possibly, to the subjunctive mood, a whole nother mood, but we'll look at it, master it, and then we'll have the ability to go into the future. Before we actually engage the future tense, so that we can begin to kind of think in Greek and get Greek deeply into our heads, and we'll use the Lord's Prayer to do that. Now, the Lord's Prayer has been put to a wrap, and the beat will actually help us to remember this. So don't think this is in any way disrespectful. It's actually very respectful because we're trying to get it deeper into our heads, and the beat will actually help us to learn it more deeply. Learn both the words and also the rhythm that goes with it. So here's the Lord's Prayer in Greek. Pater heimon ha en tois uranois. To gain some understanding of this, you see the pater means father. Heimon is our personal pronoun that we've already learned, means our. Ha is the article. Here it means the one, taken almost as a pronoun. En tois uranois means in the heavens, but the plural is usually taken as a singular. That's just the way they referred to the heavens. We refer to it as heaven, singular. Let's try that again. Pater heimon ha en tois uranois. And a third time. Pater heimon ha en tois uranois. Then the second line is hagiasteto ta anamasu. Hagiasteto is an imperative. It means make holy. Ta anama is the name, and su is your. So your name, make holy your name. And once again, the second line, hagiasteto ta anamasu. And a third time for the second line, hagiasteto ta anamasu. The third line is altheto he basileia su. Altheto is actually from Irkami, believe it or not. And it's an imperative, let come. He basileia is the kingdom, su is your. Let come your kingdom, or your kingdom come. You can see the imperative is being used as a request, not as a command, but as a request. The third line is altheto he basileia su. And the third time on the third line, altheto he basileia su. And then the fourth line, genetheto ta thelema su. Genetheto is an imperative from ginomai, meaning let be. Ta thelema is the will, su is yours. So let your will be is how this fourth line is translated. And a second time, genetheto ta thelema su. And then a third time on the fourth line, genetheto ta thelema su. And now I would just like to go through all four lines. Pater heimon ha en tois uranois, hagiasteto ta anamasu. Altheto he basileia su, genetheto ta thelema su. And one more time for the first part of the Lord's Prayer here. Pater heimon ha en tois uranois, hagiasteto ta anamasu. Altheto he basileia su, genetheto ta thelema su. Just play around with it now at this point. We'll be mastering it as we go through the rest of these chapters. in English, we have a present, a past, and a future tense. So, for example, we say, present tense, we go to the mountains. To put that in a past tense, we would say, we went to the mountains. And to put it into the future, we would say, we will go to the mountains. And so in English, we have a clear sense of present, past, and future tense. And in this chapter, we're going to be working with the future tense in Greek. Now, in Greek, the future tense can take different nuances, and so one of those nuances will be predictive. I will go, telling the future, predicting what one will do in the future. It also has, in some contexts, a kind of an imperatival sense. You shall go. And it's almost like an order there or a command, and it's sometimes you find that in the future tense, with the idea of prescribing the future. There's also a deliberative rhetorical sense, where it can be said, shall we go? Again, it has a notion of the future, but also it's in this rhetorical kind of question kind of thing about how the future should take shape in the realm of what is possible. So the future can be understood in Greek as either simply predictive, as having imperatival overtones, command overtones, or deliberative or debating about what one will do in the future. And now we're ready to learn the morphological forms for the future tense. Another chant is coming, I can feel it. But this one will be easy. The future tense uses the primary endings that we've already seen in luo, lues, lue. So you'll notice the endings are going to be very familiar. The only difference here is that a sigma has been added between the ending and the root form. So, for example, we have luso. Luso means I will loose. Luces, you will loose. Luce, he, she, it will loose. Lusamen, we will loose. Lucete, you plural will loose. And lususi, they will loose. So this is the future active indicative form of the Greek verb. You see how the same primary endings are added, only there's a sigma that mediates between the root and the final ending. That's easy enough. Now for the future middle, you'll notice it's not the middle passive, it's just the middle. There's a separate form for the future passive. So the forms for the future middle are lusamai, I will loose for myself. Luce, you will loose for yourself. Lucetai, he, she, it will loose for himself, herself, or itself. Lusamatha, we will loose for ourselves. Lusestha, you plural will loose for yourselves. Lusantai, they will loose for themselves. So this is as we would expect. You'll notice the endings are also the primary middle passive endings that we've seen in the present tense already, with a sigma added between the root and the ending. And now we're ready for our chant. Here now is chant number 7, chanting the future. Luso, luces, luce, lusamen, lucete, lususi. Lusamai, e, etai, amatha, esta, antai. One more time, say it with me. Luso, luces, luce, lusamen, lucete, lususi. Lusamai, e, etai, amatha, esta, antai. And one final time for this chant number 7, chanting the future tense, active and middle. Luso, luces, luce, lusamen, lucete, lususi. Lusamai, e, etai, amatha, esta, antai. Now that is an easy chant. Well, I bet you figured you knew that it couldn't be that easy. There's a thing called sigma addition, and this has basically five variations. When you add the sigma, it oftentimes will collide with the final consonant of the verb and cause these modifications to happen. But they're rather predictable, so it's not that difficult. The palatals, as you remember, are kappa, gamma, or chi. When you add the sigma for the future, it becomes an xi. So, for example, we have echo, I have, becomes hexo, I will have. And you see the chi goes to an xi to make the future. Ago, I lead or bring, becomes axo, I will lead or bring. The gamma goes to an xi. Now in the labials, the p, beta, phi plus the sigma goes to a psi. So blepo, I see, becomes blepso, I will see. And grapho, I write, becomes grapso, I will write. The dentals, tau, delta, or theta, when the sigma is added, reduce to a sigma. So patho, I persuade, becomes peso, I will persuade. Well, that seems simple at this point. Sometimes when the theta drops out, it's going to be difficult because when you try to look something up in the lexicon, the theta, tau, or the delta is gone, and all that's left is the sigma, and you have to kind of reconstruct it backwards. So while this one looks easy at this point, be careful about dropping thetas. The sibilants, sigma or zeta, when you add the sigma, reduces to simply a sigma. So sozo becomes soso, I will save. So the dentals and sibilants both reduce to a sigma. So just be aware of these palatal, labial, dental, and sibilants shifts so that when you deconstruct the verb, when you see one in the future, you can deconstruct it and be able to get back to the root form so you can look it up in the lexicon. Now the really tricky ones are what are known as the liquids, or I call them the lemoners. Lambda, mu, nu, or rho-ending verbs. Can you see how that relates to lemoner? The lambda, the mu, the nu, and the rho kind of spell out, if you take out the vowels, lemoner. And when you add the sigma, they reduce to simply a circumflex. The liquid and sigma collapse into a circumflex. Beware of these, as they are often read as a present tense verb, and so you can easily miss them thinking it's simply a present tense. Because the only difference between the present tense and the future will be this circumflex. So, for example, meno means I remain. Meno, with the circumflex over the omega, means I will remain. It's the actual future tense form there. Can you see how easy it would be to confuse these two? Similarly, apostello, I send, becomes apostello. You'll notice the lambda drops out and the omega takes the circumflex, indicating that it's a future, I will send. Be careful with these lemoners. It's easy to confuse them because there's no sigma around anywhere to trigger your sense that this is a future. Let's just put a summary chart here to pull this stuff together. The palatals, kappa, gamma, and chi, when you add the sigma, becomes an xi. The labials, p, beta, or phi, when you add the sigma, becomes psi. The dentals and the sibilants, both, when you add the sigma, both reduce to just a plain sigma. And the liquids, or the lemoners, Lambda, mu, nu, or rho, when you add the sigma, reduce to a circumflex. And those are the tricky ones, because there'll be no sigma to trigger your sense of the future tense. Now, one little verb that's special that we kind of keep coming back to will be the ame verb, I am, the is verb. And so the future, which we won't memorize, but I just want you to be able to recognize this, is esomai, I will be. Esse is you will be. Estai is he, she, it will be. Esamatha, we will be. Esestha, you plural will be. And esantai, they will be. So you see, it's got the sigma in there, so you know it'll go future, and it's the amai, a, atai, amatha, esta, antai endings that are tagged on there. So when you see this form, you should be able to figure it out rather than trying to memorize it. So this is the future of ami. It won't be nearly as frequent as the present tense, which we've already learned. Another interesting feature of the future is that some verbs are regular in the present. That is, they have a present active voice, a middle, and a passive voice. But when they go into the future, there's no active voice form for them. They take a middle, which some people would say is deponent in the future. So three examples of this that will come up fairly regularly are akuo, I hear, becomes akusamai, I will hear. Notice it's using the amai ending rather than the so ending. It's using the middle ending for the future. Similarly, lambano, I take or receive, becomes lamsamai and takes the amai ending, the middle ending, for the future as well. I will take. Ginosko becomes nosamai, and so the omai ending, notice also the collapsing of the gamma and the nu, the iota drops out, and so it's I will know. Again, there is no active form for these. In the future, they take the middle, but are translated in an active sense. Now, as we move from the present to the future, there are four future bad boys. And I'll keep track of these kind of, I call them bad boys because they're irregular forms. They're troublesome. You got to keep track of these things. And these are used very frequently, and so there's no getting around them. So I call them bad boys. Erkamai, I come or go, in the future becomes elusamai. There's no way to make a connection between these two. You just got to know elusamai is erkamai in disguise in the future. I will come or go. Lego becomes ero. I will say. Again, no connection between Lego and ero. You just have to know its form in the future. Ginosko, as we've seen, becomes nosomai. I will know. And lambano, as we've seen, becomes lamsamai. I will take or receive. So these are four bad boys of the future. Just keep track of these bad boys. We'll be adding quite a few more when we get to the aorist tense. One of the appendices, appendices 4, will give you the principal parts of the verb. And this will tell you what the future root form is. So if you ever have difficulty with a verb, appendix 4 and the principal parts of the verb will bring light to your eyes. Now the vocabulary for chapter 10. Our first word is zoe, and it means life. Zoology is the study of life. Our second word is the word thanatos, and it means death. Our third word is krino, and it means I judge. Our fourth word is meno, and it means I remain. Our fifth word is manas, a an, and it means only or alone. The sixth word is nun, and it means now. The seventh word is ude, and it means and not or nor. The eighth word is paulos, and it means Paul. The ninth word is sozo, and it means I save. And the tenth word is tate, and it means then. One way to work on your vocabulary is to use the interactive vocabulary builder. And hopefully you've discovered that already. It'll drill you on the sounds and meanings of the various words, presenting both the Greek and the English, or just the Greek, or just the English, whichever you prefer. As building your vocabulary in Greek is a major assignment now from now till the end of the course.